Philippians chapter 4, this is on page 1181, if you're following in the church Bibles. Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 10. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable feast, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me, send greetings. All God's people here, send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. So today we actually come to the last in our series, reflecting on this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And as I've reflected each week on it, it's been under this theme of together in the gospel. So the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the church in Philippi, actually something like, we think, a month's journey away from where Paul was. The Apostle Paul, we think, was in Rome, in prison, when he writes this letter. And he's so encouraged because he, in Rome, is suffering. He knows what it is to be struggling for the gospel. He has stuck with what he believes, that Jesus is Lord, having been raised by God from the dead, and God has appointed Jesus to be Lord, and he has stuck with that. And for his troubles, the Apostle Paul has ended up in a Roman prison. But he knows that even in his aloneness, even in the trouble he's going through in Rome, there is a church, this small group of believers in Philippi. As I say, we think it was something, would have been something like a month's journey away, who heard of Paul and continued to support him. And the Apostle Paul is so encouraged by this, and he is blessed by the fact that they care for him. And so together in the gospel. And today, as I say, is the last. I don't know whether you're glad about that or not, but it is the last of this series in Philippians. And today, under the theme of giving and receiving. So, a little bit unusual, but I'd like you to talk to each other. Do you mind doing that? It's part of a sermon. So how this is going to be caught on tape, I don't know. I want you to talk to one another and just simply answer this question. When was the last time you gave a gift to someone? Okay, that's the first question. The second question is, when was the last time you received a gift. Okay? So, just talk to each other for 30 seconds. When was the last time you gave a gift? When was the last time you received? Okay, so I think you probably had time. Let's just name the gifts. If I'll start, the last gift I gave, I think, was flowers. Okay. And the last gift I think I received was donuts. Oh, yeah. Anything better than giving flowers and receiving donuts? Any?
I gave my time at last weekend to help the preschool fundraise.
Fantastic. Okay. Any other good gifts or received things? None. No, there's lots of talking going on.
I get a gift every day. The love that Nora and I share together. Just being together.
How long have you been together?
Oh.
And it's new every morning.
Since the 70s.
In the dim and distant, that's in ancient history.
Are you on?
I think the battery must be going.
Okay,
I'm quite happy to stand here. I'll stand here. Yeah. Other good gifts that were given or received? There was lots of talking going on. There must... I'm stunned by the silence. Okay. Well, the theme this morning is about giving and receiving. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. It's interesting that as he comes right towards the end of this letter, and he's written about some extraordinary things in this letter. He's been really strong about some things, very encouraging about other things. He's reached the heights as he's spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ. But right here, it's very practical about need and the openness of the Philippians to be not just giving the gift, but seemingly aware of the need to give. And this seems to be quite striking. So I want to introduce you to two friends. You see? This is my best drawing. Thank you. And slightly different. Okay, so the one on our left is going to be slightly different. You can see that the one on the left looks a bit sad. Yeah, you agree with me, you know, come on. And is in his or her box. And the one over there is happy, and the box is slightly different. Now, the reason I drew them like this is because I recognize that we can all be like either of these two people. It's very easy to be like the one on the left with this solid box around us, particularly if we're going through time in our lives when we feel afraid. When we're going through difficulty, we can, as it were, draw defenses around us, and that can be quite protective for us. It doesn't make us happy. It probably makes us unhappy, but it's a result of fear, and we all do it. From time to time, it may be that we even withdraw from those that we love because of what we're going through, and we want to have this secure kind of barrier around us. But the one on the right, the happy one, you can see the barrier is open. There's something there, a little bit protective, but also there is an openness to the outside world. So there's a flow in and out. Now, I just pop up some words about these two, suggesting the one on the left with his very secure barrier, I would suggest, is quite fearful. The one on the right is secure. The one on the left, unhappy. The one on the right, content. The one on the left is seeking to be protective, and that's completely understandable in certain situations. The one on the right is seeking to be giving. Now, why do I draw these stick men? Why do I do that? And it is because in this passage that we have read, what we discover is that the heart of the gospel is this key theme of giving and receiving. When the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, he says, in the early days of the gospel, as we read, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, nobody shared with me except you. Nobody shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving. And I wonder, why was it that the Philippian church responded? Why was it that the Philippian church gave? Why was it that all the other churches, all the other people that the Apostle Paul was aware of, and they were aware of him, why was it that they didn't give to the Apostle Paul when clearly they could have given to him? And I wonder whether it is because some of the churches, whatever their circumstances, they were living in that sense of fear, seeking to be protective against the outside world, people coming against them, criticizing them. And the Philippian church, it appears, was secure in their relationship with God, secure to in a degree to their in their relationship with one another, content in what they had. And they were ready, therefore, to give. And that can, while this reflects the life of the churches that the Apostle Paul has encountered, it can also be very much our situation. But it is at the heart of the gospel, it seems to be, this issue of giving and receiving, this preparedness to give. And also, and it sometimes is quite difficult, isn't it, to be on the receiving end of gifts and to humbly just say thank you for gifts and the generosity sometimes that people show towards us. And we want to question, why are you giving to me? What is special about me? And so we need to, in a sense, to be porous in that way. Our God needs to be open so that we can both give and receive. Now, in this matter of giving and receiving, three words: confidence, contentment, and compassion. Confidence, contentment, and compassion. Simple reflection on this theme of giving and receiving. The Apostle Paul has a deep confidence in God, as I believe also the Philippian church had in God. They were secure in God. And so we read in verse 13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, I learnt that verse many years ago. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Did any of you learn this verse? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I think it's, just as an aside, it's a classic example of, let's take a verse out of context, shall we? And, use it in ways that it was not appropriate for. And certainly when I was growing up and I learnt this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was a sense of literally, I can do all things. I can fly. You know, I can jump off mountains. I can do anything. And that may be true, but that's not really what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Because he says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want. And there's a theme there about food. about whether the Apostle Paul has enough to eat. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Whether you've got enough to eat? Is it time for the next meal? You know, I guess none of us probably have ever been in a situation where we're seriously deprived of food. I mean, to listen to our kids sometimes, you would think so. But it's, you know, let's be honest, it's not true. But the Apostle Paul, as I've described before, was living in a Roman prison. They didn't get three meals a day in a Roman prison. In some Roman prisons, as far as we're aware, they would have got one meal a day, if that. In many Roman prisons, you were simply put in prison and you were abandoned. It was up for friends and relatives to bring you food. And as we know, the Apostle Paul was chained 24 hours a day in that Roman prison. There was nowhere he could go. People had to come absolutely to him and feed him. And so the Apostle Paul says, look, I know even in this experience here in prison, I know what it is to be given lots. I also know what it is when the days go by and nobody's been to visit me and I have no food and have nothing. I know what it is to have a great deal, and I know what it is to have very little. And for us, the key issue today might not be about food. The chances are it's not about food, but it may be about friendship or relationship. It may be that we can say, I know what it is to be secure in friendship, to know that people are there close to me, loving me, that I know that if I pick up the phone and call them, they'll be there. I know they will listen to me. I know they'll give me a cup of tea if I knock on the door. But we also know there may be times when we've felt very alone. And maybe you've had the experience of being in a crowd of people among others and still feeling alone, as if nobody sees you and nobody knows you. It may be all sorts of different levels of need and want and supply. It may be financial, where you've known the experience of not having much at all, of not knowing how you're going to afford to pay the grocery bill, of not knowing how you're going to pay the rent or pay the heating. But the Apostle Paul, in his situation, says, I know what it is when I've had plenty to eat and I'm satisfied. And I know what it is to be super hungry. But he says, I can do all this because God gives me strength every day. And in that, he is secure in God. And I think a key principle about being our person on the right with the porous barrier around is to be secure. To say, well, I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to be wealthy. I know what it is to be well fed. I know what it is to be hungry. But I believe God supplies my needs and I'll be okay. And there is that simple, basic security that we feel. The second word there is contentment. And this is where we say, I have enough. Again, in verse 12, this wonderful phrase, I have learned the secret of being content. Anybody else learned that secret? I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I was remembering this week, Tony Larkham. Do you remember Tony? And I remember very early on in my time here, Tony, one of the things I loved about Tony was that he would always have a reflection on my sermon, almost always, you know. He would make some comment about it or give me a quote, or he'll say, I was reading the other day in a book and so on, this reminded me. I remember, who knows what I was speaking about, but he came up to me after one sermon and he just said, "Ed, how much is enough?" And then he paused and said, "Just a little more." And I reflected on that, and that is a saying of our age, of our culture. How much is enough? Just a little more. Just a little more. And we are taught within our culture not to be content. You never have enough. There is always a need to have more. This is one of the curses of capitalism, that you should not be satisfied with where you are. You should always yearn for more and more and more, and never say, "I have enough, I am content." And how much is enough? How much is enough for you? How much is enough so that you can say, "I have enough, I can now give. And I will give freely and I will receive freely." I remember many years ago, one of my first jobs was working in a menswear store in Sutton Coldfield. And I wasn't very good at, I could sell you something if you needed, but, you know, it was menswear. I was supposed to do all sorts of things like measure people and fit them. And can you imagine? I didn't know what I was doing. But it's one of the fun things that I did. I worked in a menswear store, and I remember on one occasion, two guys came in, a father and son, and they actually worked for a very well-known construction company. And they were very kind and very gracious, and they even spoke to the manager as they left about me and were really complimentary. You know, that was how kind these two guys, the father and son, were. But as I say, they were father and son from a very well-known construction company. And I was talking to some friends about this father and son, this construction company, and this person said, "Well, do you know, when the father began his construction company, he worked out how much he needed to live on." Now, I guess the amount he needed to live on was probably more than I was living on. But he figured out how much he needed to live on. And then he says, "I'll give the rest away to charity." And he actually, apparently, had figured out that he could live on 10% of what the company wanted to pay him. And so he gave away every month, every year, he gave away 90%. Of his income. Here was somebody who had figured out what it meant. I have enough. I'll be content with what I have. I've mentioned before, do you know who the richest man in the world is? Elon Musk. And there's another one who normally goes with Elon Musk. They compete. Can you believe it? They compete. What's the other name?
Jeff Bezos.
Do you know how wealthy they are? Here's how wealthy they are. If you earned $10,000 per hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks in the year, can you imagine that? You would have to keep earning at that rate for 2,000 years in order to begin to get close to how wealthy Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are. Just think about that. That's $10,000 an hour, 24 hours a day. Jesus told a parable once about a farmer who hoarded his harvest, and he was very satisfied with himself and said, "I'm going to build another barn and I'm going to continue to hoard all of what I have. I am happy and satisfied." And God spoke to him that night and said, "You fool, tonight I will take your soul." And that man was left with nothing. And it speaks to those who can't come to that point of peace and security and contentment where we say, "I have enough." And when we get wealthy, what we're actually doing is hoarding wealth. That's what we're doing. When we get to the point where we should be content, but we say, "How much is enough? Just a little more," we're beginning to hoard our wealth. And the challenge for us is not to be the sad person that was on the left with a secure barrier around, "I am hoarding just in case," but to be porous, to be content, and to give. The third word up here is compassion. Compassion. Compassion is love. It's about empathy. It's about seeing the needs that other people have and then giving to them. And this is not simply what the Apostle Paul is aware of, but of course the church at Philippi is aware of. And just reading this particular passage, it seems as though that the Philippian church, they've been very aware of the Apostle Paul. They've kept tabs on him. You know, I wonder how you do that in the ancient worlds. You know, they didn't have, social media to keep tabs on where the Apostle Paul was. But they'd be receiving reports. Let's give. Let's make sure the Apostle Paul has enough. Let's make sure his needs are met. And that's what compassion is. It's knowing of somebody else's need, of being porous in our own lives, allowing others' needs to impact us and giving to them. And so the simple encouragement, the simple challenge this morning is about being those who are prepared to give and to receive, not to hoard what we have, not to be afraid, not to be fearful, not to be protective, but to be open and content in our security. And so we come back to our two people. The Apostle Paul concludes his comments about the Philippian church by saying, "Look, your gifts, you may think that your giving of these gifts, your compassion towards me, your supplying my needs is just about me." And the Apostle Paul says, no. Every act where you break out of your shell and you give freely, it's an act of worship to God. He describes it as a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And this is the act of love, of being porous in our lives and characters, aware of others, to give, but also to receive, to listen carefully, not just to what people say, but to who people are, that we might offer worship, not just in the songs that we sing or the prayers that we pray, but may our very lives be the act of love and compassion and kindness, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And let's pause there and let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, for God so loved the world that he gave. Father, pour out your Spirit upon us that we might be givers. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we may not be hoarders, but we might give. And give freely as you have given to us. Father, help us to find contentment in what we have. And as we find contentment and security, help us to be open to others and to give freely. And may all that we do, whether known or unknown by others, may it be a fragrant offering to you. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.